There is a subculture who believe that our moon has certain physical characteristics that prove it could not have evolved naturally, but is instead best explained as an artificial satellite constructed by some unknown intelligence. As these beliefs are based on hard science facts about the moon, they are a perfect place to point our skeptical eye and see if the moon needs to be re-examined, or if perhaps some of these people aren't getting the science quite right. The engineered moon is coming up next on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode of Skeptoid is sponsored in part by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. The Engineered Moon Hypothesis. Poe's law can be roughly paraphrased as there are some views so extreme that they cannot reliably be distinguished from parody. And the claim that the moon is a hollow alien construction perfectly illustrates the need for such a law. World-famous conspiracy theorists such as David Icke have promoted this claim as fact, and fringe websites today continue to publish articles that assign it the unearned status Hollow Moon Theory. Today we're going to disassemble this alleged construction project and learn exactly how we know that the moon is neither hollow nor was it engineered. However, while it's easy to simply assert that's not true, how many of us can convincingly explain how and why we know that? Would you be able to sit down right now on a panel and debate a hollow moon expert who's written whole books on the subject? Suddenly, we're not nearly the experts we think we are. What seems like a science fantasy idea out of a children's book suddenly looks like a gaping hole in our basic science literacy. It probably comes as no great surprise that the early advocacy for this idea came from the former Soviet Union, a place where pseudoscientific ideas have found warm receptions not only among the fringe, but also in the legitimate scientific community. Two members of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, Michael Vashin and Alexander Sherbakov, published an article in the mass-market consumer publication Sputnik. In it, they made a few observations about the moon and then gave what was essentially the plot from the Star Trek episode, "For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky," which had aired about 18 months previously.
Our hypothesis, the moon is an artificial Earth satellite put into orbit around the Earth by some intelligent beings unknown to ourselves. We refuse to engage in speculation about who exactly staged this unique experiment, which only a highly developed civilization was capable of. If you are going to launch an artificial Sputnik, then it is advisable to make it hollow. What we have here is a very ancient spaceship, the interior of which was filled with fuel for the engines, materials and appliances for repair work, navigation, instruments, observation equipment, and all manner of machinery. In other words, everything necessary to enable this caravel of the universe to serve as a kind of Noah's Ark of intelligence. perhaps even as the home of a whole civilization, envisaging a prolonged existence and long wanderings through space.
They also cited a 1959 claim by another Soviet scientist, Yosef Shklovsky, who had made the same arguments for Mars's moon, Phobos. Soviet politics and science had always been closely intertwined, and their work came at a time when this tide was shifting away from belief in ancient aliens, perhaps in response to the West's newfound love for the subject, driven by authors like Erich von Däniken. Thus was their work relegated to the consumer magazine, and thus it was essentially ignored by the scientific community. But one can always trust in today's internet conspiracy theory community to breathe new life into just about any old claim, so long as it's contemptuous of any standard model of science. The claims made today, as elucidated in one heavily linked and shared article on the website Ancient Code, include: the moon has unexpected elements that it shouldn't have? Not true. The moon does not have a solid core? Not true. The moon is older than the Earth? Not true. And the moon's orbit is perfectly circular? Also not true. Let's talk about these. We went into great detail on the early history of the Earth and the moon in episode number 638, which examined the notion that the early Earth may have had enormous tides rushing across its surface at supersonic speeds multiple times a day, back when the moon was much closer and orbited much faster. It's a pretty cool episode. You should check it out. The moon was formed when two primordial planetesimals, Theia and Gaia, collided. Theia and Gaia had been on the same orbit around the sun and had accreted from the same material in the early solar system. Thus, they consisted of about the same minerals in about the same proportions. When they collided, the bulk of the combined mass stayed together and became the Earth, while the rest was ejected outward and then accreted into the moon. Thus, the Earth and the moon are a pretty good mix of most of the same elements, but not a perfect mix. Both Theia and Gaia had most of the heavier elements deeper inside and their lighter elements further toward the surface, and most of the ejecta from the collision consisted of these lighter elements. The Earth got most of the heavier core elements, while the moon is made up mostly of the lighter ejecta. Today we have pretty accurate measurements of both. The Earth has a mean density of 5.5 grams per cubic centimeter, while the moon measures 3.3 grams per cubic centimeter, just about 60% as dense. It is this compositional similarity that forms the backbone of our evidence that the Earth and Moon have this common origin from the same basic place in the solar system, chemically and isotopically distinct from all the other neighborhoods. If some aliens were going to build a gargantuan ark and park it in orbit around the Earth, and they wanted to fool us by constructing it of the same minerals Earth is made from, they would have first needed to come here and take samples, and then gone out and found another planet exactly like the Earth to use as their raw materials. I've not yet come across a persuasive argument for why said aliens would have gone to all this expense and trouble, but the leading piece of evidence comes from a source loaded with authority. Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. skeptoid.com/gopremium. The moon rang like a bell. The classic claim that all the articles promoting this idea put forward, and that even David Icke made, is that the moon, quote, rang like a bell when struck. In 1969, Apollo 12 deliberately crashed their lunar ascent stage into the moon as part of a seismological experiment to learn about the moon's interior. Astronauts from Apollo 11 and 12 had placed seismometers on the moon in preparation for this. Writing in a 1970 article in Popular Science, Dr. Wernher von Braun infamously described what happened.
"The astounding result of that crash, the moon rang like a bell for nearly an hour, indicating some strange and unearthly underground structure."
Thanks to that unfortunately artistic choice of language, von Braun himself became perhaps the most influential promoter of this mythology, if an unwitting one. His wording became a rallying cry for the hollow moon community, who consider this description of the moon's ringing, from no less an authority than Wernher von Braun, as proof that the government knows the moon is hollow, like a bell or gong. But many years later, we now have actual analysis of the data von Braun so colorfully alluded to, and seismology is indeed one of the two main lines of evidence proving that the moon has a conventional planetary structure. Let's look at these seismological studies. Apollo astronauts placed more seismographs at more locations on later missions, and this network, called the Apollo Passive Seismic Experiment, recorded the moon's seismological activity until 1977. We're able to study that data to learn about the moon's internal structure exactly the same way we do here on Earth, observing the different ways that seismological waves reflect off the internal layers inside the planet. In a work published in 2011, NASA used state-of-the-art techniques to reanalyze this Apollo-era data and improved the state of our knowledge to give us the best picture yet of the moon's internal structure. As a result, we have accurate constraints on the range of sizes of its small solid inner core and fluid outer core, a thin partial melt layer, and its thick mantle that constitutes the bulk of its mass. Now let's talk about the moon's moment of inertia. The other great way we can tell about whether the moon is hollow or not is by measuring its moment of rotational inertia. If you're holding a heavy metal globe, you can feel its moment of inertia by trying to rotate it back and forth quickly. If this is easy to do, it means a lot of the mass is concentrated at the center of the globe. If it's harder to do, it means a lot of the mass is out at its surface. If it required a medium effort, it would mean the mass is evenly distributed as if it's a solid body. If the moon were solid with a heavy core, it would have lower rotational inertia. But if it were a hollow spaceship with a thick outer shell, it would have a higher inertia, even if it had the exact same mass. Now, we don't have a giant pair of hands with which we can reach out and try to turn the moon back and forth to test its moment of inertia. But we still have at least two ways we can measure it. The first is by gravimetric studies. We have spacecraft that orbit the moon, and by studying how their orbits are affected, we can build a detailed gravimetric profile of the moon that tells us how dense its various layers are. The second is more complex and involves detailed studies of the way the moon wobbles. As the moon orbits the Earth, rotating in sync to keep one side always facing us, there are all kinds of slight variances. It speeds up and slows down on its elliptical orbit, and its movement goes through three different types of precession: axial, apsidal, and nodal. Bottom line is the moon is always nodding just slightly toward us, to the north, south, east, or west, called libration. And by comparing the observed libration with what the precessions predict, we can measure exactly how much inertial resistance the moon is putting up. What these measurements have told us is that the moon's core is dense and small, and that the rest of the moon is of a pretty uniform density. It is absolutely, positively not hollow, and has its mass evenly distributed throughout it, but for the small, heaviest bit at the core. And this is math, not a guess or an assumption. To sum up, the moon is not hollow. And if it was engineered by some advanced alien race, what they constructed matches exactly the materials and structure that we'd expect to find if the moon had formed naturally, as given in the Standard Model. And it was placed into exactly the right orbit that we would expect if that formation had taken place when we believe it did. So, kudos to them for probably the most pointless and expensive project in the history of the universe. But you know who isn't pointless? Skeptoid's premium members, like David, who is walking his dog listening to this, Gregorio Ganyan in Japan, Dave, Gina, Lucy, and Sophia from Brisbane, Australia, and Chuck and Scott Morgan, a dad and son listening together, like all good dads and sons. Follow us on your favorite social media for even more great content. You'll find both Skeptoid and me, Brian Dunning, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And remember, Skeptoid is a 501c3 educational nonprofit. We depend on your monthly micropayments to keep this content available to all the people out there who need it. Join us in this mission. Just come to skeptoid.com and click Go Premium. You're listening to Skeptoid, a listener-supported program. I'm Brian Dunning from skeptoid.com.